Hi, welcome to Picayune Conversations. I'm Calvin.
And I'm Lindsay.
And today we're continuing our series talking about emotions and their purposes and what we can do about them. And today we are talking about... That's a really bad drum roll on my desk. But
terrible. Sadness. I'm sad about that.
Well, that's perfect. That was my intention, is we got to make you sad because we're talking about sadness.
The critical loss was my time.
Okay. So... So I think we need to, start. It seems like we've kind of developed a little bit of a pattern as we're talking about these emotions. We kind of start by just talking about the purpose. And again, this is pulling on the work of Paul Rasmussen, who trained both of us, has had a really big impact on how we think about people and how they behave, and certainly emotions as well. So, how do you want to start this? You want to talk a little bit about the purpose of sadness?
Put it out there, and then you can expand.
Fantastic. And then you can
You might describe it differently, but what I learned from Paul is that sadness is the loss emotion, and sometimes our response to that is to withdraw.
I remember one time Paul talking to me about this. He calls it the loss emotion. That's how I remember it as well. And that sadness is, of course, it's very, very uncomfortable and doesn't feel great. And not that we would wish sadness on anybody, but that sadness is this emotion that is really a pretty special emotion, because it alerts us to the fact that we have lost something that is meaningful to us.
Yeah.
And by extension, and we can, I certainly want us maybe to talk a little bit more about this as the conversation goes on. This is the way in which we can make sadness really useful, is that if we are feeling sad, that tells us something pretty important about what is meaningful to us, and maybe even potentially what is actually just meaningful in life, depending on how mistaken our ideas are about life. But it's just powerful in this way that it, unlike many other emotions, it has this capacity to point out something existentially relevant about the world. And so therefore, you know, this is kind of the downside, right, of, let's say that we're feeling sad, and of course that's uncomfortable, then we engage in these kind of complicated acts of creating a sideshow or distracting ourselves either with entertainment or with an emotion like anger or
drugs
or substances, drugs, alcohol, all kinds of things. There's a whole bunch of problems that maybe would come from
lots of ways to withdraw.
but a really big downside to doing that, rather than allowing ourselves to kind of sit in the anger and sit in the sadness and just experience it, is that we are missing an opportunity to learn something about what is meaningful to us, and potentially just even more broadly, what is maybe objectively meaningful about life. So can you give us kind of maybe an example of how sadness shows up in a person's life, and how then maybe we would discern a little bit about, you know, connecting that to what's meaningful?
How about can I give like a lifestyle, and then maybe we could expand on like maybe what they're sad about?
Sure.
Let's say life means I must be universally loved.
Okay.
Or liked, loved. I was going to say liked, but then I said loved.
Okay.
Okay. Life means be universally loved. If we were to take a guess on what they're sad about, we could probably have a good one.
Yeah. I mean, because like the most meaningful thing to that person is maybe, let's say, a relationship in which they feel that they are universally loved.
Yeah. And maybe that's at work. Maybe that shows up in their intimate relationship, whatever, that they feel either an actual or perceived loss. And this must be a critical loss to them. I like what you're saying about, like, it's basically an opportunity to reflect on what we value.
Yeah.
Events, people, places, whatever. And if you can, like, stay in it and get curious. So let's say the lifestyle is must be universally loved. Sad about not, maybe somebody doesn't like them, or they don't want to get in arguments. That's how they withdraw, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it would seem that, like, they might get anxious. Let's say they go into a new environment and they're anxious, like, oh, no, what if somebody doesn't like me or love me?
That's how it would show up.
Which at some point we're going to have to do a thing on anxiety. I think we've got that slated for a for a conversation at some point. But sadness would probably come when they have experienced it and then lose it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, they wouldn't have to experience it in reality. Sometimes we feel sad because we have hoped for something. Mm-hmm. And by hope, I'm saying that we imagine something, right? We imagine a scenario in which this person, perhaps, you know, in this case that we're talking about, we imagine this thing happening where somebody really likes us or loves us, or everybody really likes us or loves us. And then, and we kind of have it. You know, we have it in our imagination, and then we show up, and reality disconfirms this, and we experience it as this loss.
Yeah.
Which is, I know that may sound a little bit bizarre, but it's a very common thing, you know?
Yeah, it is, and you can imagine that person might not even go because of the perceived future loss. You know, like, what if I show up and somebody doesn't like me? Mm. They might not go in, you know, to any events.
Okay. Now, it seems like partly what you're talking about now is an act of depression. And this is maybe, if I'm remembering right, this is where the withdrawal piece kind of comes in. So sometimes we think about depression as, or maybe not we, okay, but a lot of people, not maybe us. The general public, we think of depression as like, oh yeah, well, you're just really sad. And I think it's maybe important that we take a moment to distinguish between sadness and depression. They are not the same thing. And really, like, they're really not even, they are certainly related, and they are very, very far from being the same thing.
I just understand.
So sadness, again, it's our experience. It's the way in which we are oriented to the fact that we've lost something meaningful to us. Depression is a withdrawal emotion that says, no matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, no matter how patient I am, no matter how much help I get, no matter fill in the blank, some challenge that I am facing is hopeless. It's never going to go well. And so we withdraw. And so, okay, let's say that, yeah, you have a lifestyle that says life is good and meaningful if I am universally loved.
And only if.
And only if I'm universally loved. Well, then that sets you up potentially to get depressed, not just to get sad, but to get depressed because you look out at the world and you say, yeah, it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what scenario I enter into. It doesn't matter anything. This is never going to happen. So then all of our symptoms of depression, you know, they come along to keep us withdrawn. You know, we eat too much or we eat too little, which means we have low energy, which means we don't really do anything,
right.
You know, and we have low confidence. So then that what that's about is our imagination, our estimation about ourselves. And we sleep too much or we sleep too little, which affects our energy levels. So then we don't go do things. And mm-hmm. So it's almost this thing of like, it's better to not try than to fail.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, sometimes is true. You know, I'm not saying this to mock depression or to make light of it or to frame it as weakness. Sometimes it's prudence. But it's not just about being sad. It's about sadness and depression are related in this way, that sometimes we experience, let's say, a loss. Let's say that this person that we're talking about, this hypothetical individual, that they have a relationship where they really feel universally loved. Like, oh, my dad has always like loved me without condition, and he loved me so well. And then, sure enough, dad passes away. And they look out. So now they're sad. Okay, they've lost something that's deeply meaningful to them. But then they're going to get depressed if they look out at the rest of the world and they say, and I'll never find anything like that again. No matter how hard I look, no matter how hard I try, no matter how I show up in a relationship, I'll never have it again. And so, you know, then what's the point? And so then they withdraw and they withdraw from the tasks of life. What am I missing in this description?
No, you nailed it. But I also thinking back to sadness, like to kind of like turn down the volume on the sadness of depression, it's also an opportunity to slow down. Life goes so fast, and sometimes it's just our body's way. The purpose is like, hey, slow down, take care of yourself. There are things that are important to you, maybe even critical, and you need to be paying attention. I also like it because I'm like, it's kind of like little sirens or alarm bells going off saying you care about how you're treated and you care about, you know, your relationships. You care about connection. Like that's a great start.
Yeah.
You know, that you care that much about connection to something or someone. So let's look at it. Let's stay curious about it.
Well, and I think what's interesting about this, right, is there's also this weird cultural dynamic where sometimes people look at others and they have this sense of like, well, what are they so sad about? Like, it's not that big a deal, you know? And by the way, we're human beings. Yes. We do it too at times, okay? And I think what's important to remember here, right, is that there's, let's say, an object or a person. And then there's the meaning that we give to that object or person. And that's going to vary from person to person. So, like, you know, let's say that I have this pen here on my desk, okay? If I lose this pen, well, it's just a pen. And it's kind of like a cheapo pen, right? This is not like some wildly expensive pen. But let's say that this was a pen that was given to me.
I got you that pen.
You know, we'll see. There we go. And so then I lose it. And because it's not about the pen, it's about the meaning that I give to the pen. And if it means something really significant to me, then if I lose it, then I experience the sadness. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, really uncomfortable. But then if I'm able to slow down and say, wow, I feel really sad about that stupid pen. Why am I so worked up about this pen? Then I'm able to contemplate and to go down a level or two, mm-hmm. and to understand this is what really is meaningful to me about that. And that, yeah, helps me to how did you put it earlier about something about values?
Just helps you to clarify your values and what you find significant. You can't ask me to repeat things I've said. It just comes out.
I think that was it. I think that
you
was
just
it.
Just rewind and find out what I actually said. And it's brilliant. I can assure you.
I want us to talk also maybe a little bit about grief. Because if we're talking about sadness, we should probably at least say a little bit about grief.
Maybe we even do a whole thing on grief and do the three-step process and related to this episode.
Okay.
Brainstorming.
Yeah. Okay. That's a wonderful idea. So
now it's on video. We can't forget.
Yeah. You all can stay tuned for the grief episode that'll happen at some point.
But briefly, we can.
Yeah. Well, what do you want to say about grief?
You go ahead. It was your idea.
Okay. She's trying to set you up here to like talk and share. Just
what if I don't want to share? I'm grieving. Yeah,
it's like a ping pong match over here. She won't take my serves. So grief. Grief, sometimes we talk about grief as if it is an emotion, and I think it's understandable, but I think that there's a lot of emotions that are packed inside of grief. And I think a lot of that has to do with that grief is this process by which we kind of contend with losses, that we sort them out a little bit for ourselves. And a major inhibiting factor in grief is that we are less than thoughtful about the meaning of what has been lost.
Can you say more about that?
Yeah. So we think of grief as this thing that's like a collection of behaviors. You know, you cry.
You cry.
You organize the funeral. You write the obituary. You whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like bummed out for a while. And then also there's kind of this like invisible timer in the background, right? And people feel this very regularly. They're like, well, I know that I'm grieving, but it's been 3 months, you know, and somehow they've crossed this like invisible line for themselves, mm-hmm. where they feel like, oh, well, now it's no longer allowed. I think what's happening in a situation like that is that this individual, and I don't mean this in a critical way, it's not about, oh, they haven't done what they're supposed to do, but it's like they have not adequately attended to the meaning of what they lost. And so it's almost as though the body and the mind, I hate talking about the body and the mind as if they're, first of all, separate things, or as if they're something external to ourselves, but just stick with me in the metaphor of it, okay? It's almost as though the body and the mind are waving their hands, being like, hey, this is important. Like, you need to, you got to look at this. You got to pay attention to what's going on here, because this is important. And when we don't, when we think of grief as just this like collection of crying and writing obituaries and organizing funerals and being bummed out, then we're missing this whole feature of what our sadness is actually trying to get us to attend to, which is, let's figure out what's meaningful in life and pursue that.
Yeah, what are you missing now? In principle, what have you lost? Like when my mamma died, you know, she was one of the, I lost a person, I lost a grandmother, but what I really lost was somebody who mutually respected me, was curious about my ideas, treated me inappropriately, maybe sometimes as an adult, you know, karaoke at 5 years old, you know. but I mean, like, I felt like I had a friend in her, you know, and someone who respected me. That's what I lost. That's what I'm still grieving. And that's what eventually, once I have felt the sadness and really gotten curious about it and attended to it, that's what I get to seek in principle, not a replacement.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people, that catches people in grief. Like, they feel like they need to replace it with something.
Yeah, and it's, here's the trouble I'm thinking with this idea of replacement. First of all, you know, you can't just, like, Frankenstein somebody up from the grave. I mean, if we're talking about what you've lost being a person or, instead of a pen, you know, right. Like, I don't
know. Or a pet or, you know.
Yeah, or something like that. You can't just, like, Frankenstein them up from the grave. Nor, I think it's disrespectful to grieving people or to ourselves if we're the ones that are grieving to suggest that something that we've lost that's so meaningful, particularly something as complex as a person.
Or like a baby. Oh, yeah, just yeah. Have another baby. You'll get pregnant again.
Yeah, these are, these are not things that are replaceable.
Right.
And the meaning of it, that's which is not the thing itself, okay, but it's the meaning that we give to it. These are things that we actually can pursue, you know? And I don't mean even obtain. I mean pursue. There is virtue and power and emotional... this is going to maybe sound like very like woo-woo or something, but I think that there is healing power in the pursuit of things, even if we never attain them. I think about, let's say, let's look at like societal pursuit of justice. It's like we have never obtained perfect justice. Like we got a long way to go. And I also think it has been healing and restorative and a genuine moral good that we have set virtues of justice out in front of us and said, well, let's pursue those things. Mm-hmm. And so we enter into this like kind of like a process of perfectioning or of pursuit or
efforting.
Yeah.
And like the efforts matter.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's something, yeah, not that that makes sadness go away, but that it does make our sadness useful. Like we can do something with it. And I'm not even just talking about like mere pragmatism, but it's like it philosophically, existentially, it gives us something to do with this feeling that is so uncomfortable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know we touched on a lot. We touched on kind of what sadness is. We dabbled a little bit in depression and grief, which I think probably should come back to both of those at some point and have a little bit lengthier episodes. But let's say just based on, let's just come back to sadness, okay, as the emotion that alerts us to the fact that we've lost something meaningful to us. What would be like a practical thing that our listeners or our viewers, depending on where you're, how you're consuming this media, what maybe advice or a little bit of like a practical step that they could take away from this conversation?
I'll go with this. The next time that you catch yourself feeling sad, like you notice that you're feeling sad, because there might be times where you don't because you're just on autopilot. Stop for a second, and I know this sounds dorky, but just sort of like pat yourself on the back and ask yourself why you should be not why you should be thankful, but like what is a good reason to like thank yourself for why you're feeling this. Basically stop and get curious about why you're feeling it. And sometimes I have them if I've been working with them for a little while and then they experience something that is causing grief. I have them check in with their body. So I turn to the body and make it a somatic thing, you know, and talk to that part of your body. It's like not about having the right answer, not about saying the right thing. I don't even tell them what to say. It's about the effort of actually doing it. Are you acting as if you respect yourself by staying curious and not trying to like compartmentalize negative feelings? Because that's not how it works. Like the feelings are morally neutral. We just need to understand them and how we can like best use them to help ourselves and other people.
Yeah.
Just stop and get curious. And I like to just dorkily say like, oh, I'm feeling anxious or I'm feeling sad. Like, thanks self. And then I'm like, oh, okay, right. You're trying to tell me that something's important to me. Like, let me just stop for a second, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think that people often fear, if I had to just kind of, you know, tag on to that, I think that people fear that if they don't just immediately cheer up or something, right? Like that's kind of like the line of like, oh, well, you know, cheer up, you know, do something that'll make you feel better or something. I'm not suggesting that that's all bad, but I think that there's this fear that if we just slow down and sit in the sadness for a little bit, that what that's going to turn into is wallowing.
Yeah.
And I think, I certainly have wallowed. I have clients who wallow. Like this is, there is, like that's a thing. But there's a kind of just mindful, I like your word, of curiosity that we can have about our sadness, that rather than wallowing, what it does is it says, okay, I am experiencing this emotion.
It's okay that I am.
It's okay that I am. This is not, emotions are not good or bad. They have purposes. And so let me just take a few moments to contemplate here, to get curious. I like how you're saying it. And then it's look, if you spend 3 or 4 minutes on that, grand. And then sure, go cheer up. Okay. But like even that just little 3, 5 minute segment, 30 seconds, whatever it is, or an hour, or a day or a week, whatever. There's a time when you can kind of turn a corner and say, okay, well now I'm going to go cheer up. And, that's fine too, but let's not deny ourselves. The reality is we have to experience the downside of sadness.
Yeah.
Let's not deny ourselves the upside of it by rushing past it with this intent to cheer up. Might as well get both sides of something.
Yeah, like don't gaslight yourself. Like, and to be like, oh, I'm not feeling sad. Let me convince myself I'm not sad. Yes, you are, with good reason. Pay attention to it. Get curious. The goal, remember, is to be curious, not to find the right answer, not to like figure out the like absolute one reason why you're feeling a certain thing. Like, sure, you can get to that later, but like the point in the moment is just to like stay curious.
Yeah.
And say it's okay to be feeling whatever the hell you're feeling.
Yeah.
Because it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so stick with us. We're going to keep this series on emotions. We're going to keep it going. So tune in next time, and we'll talk about something else. Who knows what it'll be. But it'll be something, and hopefully at least mildly entertaining. So thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye
now.